One of these days, I'm tempted to just keep going and just see how long it takes before Weird buckles and has to say something.
Oh God, I can't take it anymore.
I was actually just booting up Minesweeper. Take as long as you want. I will be entertained by shiny things.
Are we recording?
Yes,
we are.
All right, awesome.
That's what the silence is for.
Got it.
That's what the Cylons are for.
Well, no,
happy tomorrow birthday, JG.
Well, yeah, thanks. It's yeah. Jay's birthday. Well, we don't know what year you're listening to this, but you know, those of you listening in 3215, it is currently 2017 on April, what is it, 20th? Oh, it's 420.
420.
It is 420. No, is anybody stoned?
No.
Anybody smoke?
No.
Oh,
we're a bunch of fuddy duddies here.
No, yeah. I fully intend to do the Elliot Ness business of when Prohibition ends. I might have a drink. I'm definitely going to walk into a dispensary, but it needs to be actually fucking legal. There are dispensaries here in Massachusetts, but yes, but I can still go to federal prison for that shit. And guess what? Not only do I not want to go to federal prison, but I also don't want any of the consolation prizes that come from going to federal prison,
such
as losing all my guns and all of my permits and, you know, potentially. Oh,
you mean like the gentleman in Cohasset, Massachusetts?
Which gentleman are we talking about?
The guy who had over 100 military surplus bolt-action rifles and pump-action shotguns stolen from him by the police department.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, the huge quote arsenal, yes. Unquote, was apparently stolen from him for no particular reason.
Right, right.
Except there's obviously somebody in the police department that collects Turkish Mausers.
Yeah, they were not properly stored, meaning they were
what
not.
What does that
kept,
mean?
They were not kept under lock and key. Which, if you remember your Heller ruling, the Supreme Court ruled was unconstitutional.
Even actually, is he suing Jay? Actually, I have not.
I certainly hope he is
because the bottom line is I actually expected because at the while Heller was after Heller had been it was after the Heller ruling, but before McDonald, there was a case where a police officer. Funny how these stories always seem to happen. Of the, you know. The actual issues where safe storage, you know, caused a problem often are police officers and drug dealers. They don't lock up their guns. Funny. But a police officer had his duty gun sitting on the coffee table.
Oh, I remember
and
that one.
His young son picked the gun up, pointed it out the window, and pulled the trigger at somebody else. And the gun was unloaded, so there was simply a click instead of a bang. But the person who had a gun pointed at them took offense to that and, you know, called the police and filed a report. And this guy was charged with the improper storage of the gun since he was not in full control of the gun and it wasn't locked up. So went through. And one of the things that the defense pointed out was the Heller ruling that said that was against the law. And they specifically said that while the Heller ruling did say that indeed safe storage laws are unconstitutional, the Heller ruling applies to federal land. It has not been ratified by the states. So technically speaking, there's already like court precedents in Massachusetts for it. You just got to go pick it up.
Well, I'm sure.
And hopefully you will. Because, yeah, fuck this state. Bunch of fucking crazy people. It's so like hilarious how completely fucking insane like the states that voted for Hillary Clinton are. Speaking of, let's just do a segue. It's just a crass ass segue. Speaking of completely crazy states, in Washington State, there was a gentleman who was dying of some terminal illness. I don't remember it being mentioned in the obituary. But his actual ex-wife, who he was no longer estranged with, actually whispered in his ears as he was slipping away that Donald Trump had been impeached.
And that's what he let him let him like
yes
let go.
Yeah, that was his like last moment of happiness.
Aww. Which and he will continue to vote Democrat for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Which, by the way, first up says how stupid both of these people are because, you know, if all right, first up, let's rewind. Like that's all I can think about all the time with these butthurt Trump, you know, Democrats that are just is one of those like it was 8 years of Obama, and. Mm-hmm. It sucked, but also he's a president. He's not an emperor. He's not a king. So it sucked, but hey, guess what? It's just the presidency. Yep. You know, there may be other problems going into that, but again, it's just the presidency.
Well, I dare say that 4 years of Trump, 4 years of Trump will not be as devastating to as many Americans as 8 years of Obama have been.
Not with Secretary of Defense Mattis, it won't.
I mean, just financially, during the Obama administration, regular middle America has taken a huge, huge hit. I mean, you have people like, I see it in the news all the time, people are losing sleep because of, you know, they're worried about their finances. People are, you know, suicide is up and drug use is up in middle white class America. You know, it's like... And it's all by design, people, right? So,
to be fair, I have like you will be able to knock me over by a feather if Trump does anything useful on this whole opioid epidemic.
Oh, please, no. I don't think so at all. But I think that all these people who are so worried about Trump and so worried about I don't even know what they're worried about.
They don't either.
They know what they're worried about. They are worried about whatever scares them most. Like Donald Trump is the boogeyman Rorschach test for unhinged Democrats.
Right, but I.
It is literally the if you are gay, Donald Trump is the biggest homophobic person on the planet, and he is going to do all the stuff that these ISIS people that you've got no problem with actually do to gay people.
Right.
And then if you're black, Donald
Trump. Can I finish my point?
Oh, please.
Before you go on.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that, you know, all these people that are so worried about Trump, I don't think will be as affected by 4 years of a Trump presidency as, you know, the white middle America who was afraid of Obama. I don't think that the impact will be as great.
Mm-hmm.
Or as lasting. And I think, you know, sure, we'll maybe get... We'll get 4 years of Trump, maybe eight. I doubt it, but
I don't.
And it'll be over.
Again, you've got so. I mean, here's the big thing: is you've got all of these like Democrats, and that's one of their big things. Is like, you know, impeach this guy, impeach this guy. I just heard that.
For what? Was it?
Exactly, Dan Savage. Like has a website.
They don't even understand what impeach means.
Exactly. That's the big thing is if somebody said, you know, rewind the clock, you know, let's go 6 years back in time. That's a nice time. And, you know, somebody said to me, oh my God, Obama just got impeached. Well, first up, I'm smart enough to know that these people, when they hear say impeached, they actually think removed from office.
Right. Yeah.
These are the people who, if you spot them, there have been two presidents in United States history who have been impeached. Name both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They will go Richard Nixon and. You know, they don't even know the meaning of the word. Let alone how that works. And then, yeah, number two, what are the charges? And then on top of that, yeah, again, you know, Bill Clinton was impeached. Andrew Johnson was impeached. Both of them served out the end of their term. And yeah, but yeah, Nixon was going to be impeached and more than likely ousted. For shit that
Well, it's laughable now.
Yeah. For shit that like Obama would do, you know, in between his first and his second cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Enemies list. IRS. Oh yeah.
Exactly.
State secrets on Gmail. Yeah, no problem.
Well, the difference was that during Nixon's term, the Senate was not in the hands of the Republicans.
And he was about as likable as a fart in church.
But that's not, it doesn't matter. I mean, the impeachment and voting to convict by the Congress and the Senate is purely a political thing. It's all it'll ever be. And it's all it ever has been is purely political.
And
that was, Senate that actually goes back to the first Johnson administration.
Right.
Johnson was impeached simply because the entire country was Republican because guess what? The Democrats were the South and the Republicans were the North, and we, meaning the North, kicked the shit out of the South. And Lincoln, in a very, very smart move, asked his Republican vice president to step down. Can't even tell you his name. And asked Andrew Johnson, who was a Southern Democrat, to become his vice president as a way to show unity in reconstructing the South, and let's get this country back together. Let's end the hardships of this war. And no, there was still a lot of bad blood going on. And Lincoln got shot by some of that bad blood, and then the other bad blood tried to oust the vice president and essentially completely usurp the executive office.
Yep. But the reason Nixon resigned, though, was a political maneuver to maintain Republican control of the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Senate, you got to remember, the Senate and the House were controlled by Democrats at the time. That's why, you know, it's the same reason Clinton got impeached by the Republican Congress. It was purely political. He had no chance of getting convicted by the Democratic controlled Senate at the time. And Nixon knew that if he was impeached, he would be convicted because the Democrats controlled the Senate. It was a foregone conclusion. So in order to leave the presidency in the hands of the Republicans, he resigned so his VP Ford could be the president. I mean, it's not like, Nixon, he was so awful. And, you know, he did such a bad, heinous crime that, you know, he had to go. It's not the case at all. Presidents have done far worse than Nixon. I mean, come on, Clinton,
okay.
Obama, Jesus. I mean,
Jesus was never president, Alan.
I'm not sure he could be elected president.
He's got long hair. We haven't had a hippie president.
Yeah.
And he was born a Jew, so he's a total flip-flopper.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was against it before he was for it, or I don't know. Anyway, how did we get on the stupid topic?
Trump.
Oh. Stupid Democrats.
Yeah, the dude that his ex-wife whispered to his ear. I just was amazed. And again, Brita says, I'm not sure if we're going to get a second 4 years of Trump, but it's one of those, like, Elizabeth Warren just released a book that no one's going to fucking read.
Oh, can I talk about that?
Yes,
oh
my please gosh. Please do. It's hilarious.
So, all right. So I was doing stuff at the library today. I was putting away new books, and I noticed that we had two copies of Elizabeth Warren's new
That's
book.
Optimistic.
Right? So I was like, and they were sitting there on the new shelf. So I looked at the sticker, and we have had these two copies of Elizabeth Warren's new book for 1 month. Okay. And so I thought, well, okay, are these going out or not? So I went into the catalog and I looked up the circulation stats for these books. And we have two copies and one circulation. So one of the copies have gone out once in 1 month.
That's amazing, because I mean, think about how many.
Well, if you think about like new books coming out, usually there is a waiting list before the book is even on the shelf.
Right.
So before the book even hits the shelf, it's already like getting circulation. Like before we even can put it out, we have to send it to somebody to circulate.
But this is right? This is essentially a vanity.
Well, yeah.
Book is a vanity. So how many vanity published books get put in the library and two copies, no less?
Well, yeah.
Just wait till Obama's $60 million autobiography hits.
The one
am
that
not buying the audiobook.
The one that Ayers is writing for.
Is he writing
right
it
now? Well, I hope so one. Because Obama's writing is really unreadable.
Do you mean all the publications of the Harvard Law Review he wrote?
Yeah, all of those.
Oh wait, no, wait, no, he didn't.
Oh no, he didn't publish anything. Yeah, but there have been a lot of these types of books that they just like Hillary and what's his face, Tim Kaine. They had a book.
Oh yeah,
and Tim Kaine.
Did they really?
They had a book. I think it was called Better Together or something like that.
That sounds like a really bad sitcom.
Wasn't that by the Turtles?
Better Together.
I think it was Better Together. I could be wrong. Anyway, Stronger Together.
I'm seeing a 70s cheesy, you know, like.
I have to look it up.
I think the alternate title was Does Anybody Give a Fuck? Subtitle, no.
But that book just flopped. You know, even, you know, not just at libraries, but everywhere. Because everybody recognizes these books for what they are. They're just.
Well, somebody too, like, actually, I just, speaking of books.
It was Stronger Together.
I read Andrew Cuomo, like, allegedly got, what was it, like $200,000, a $200,000 advance for his book. And they sold like 1,000 copies.
Oh, ouch!
But,
wow.
I think one of the big questions is the publishing company's is staying mum about
doesn't that count as an illegal contribution?
Kind of.
Only for Republicans.
Oh, okay.
But I think there is some talk that it might be some of his little money laundering because. He is kind of, isn't he under indictment? I think
he's a Democrat. So yeah,
that is true. If he is not under indictment, he is, he soon will be. He has, his tailor has fitted him for an orange jumpsuit, but yeah.
Oh, speaking of New York politicians, or at least their kin, has anybody seen the video going around showing Amy Schumer and just how much of her act she plagiarizes?
Oh.
Oh, God. It's interesting.
Wait, so she doesn't even write her own stuff and she's not funny?
No, she steals people's bits.
But why doesn't she steal the funny stuff?
Wholesale.
I mean, that is literally like breaking into a jewelry store and going after the Hommel figurines. Like, I mean, you do know that there's a 2-carat diamond sitting over there. No, I'm going to steal the Hommels. But yeah, so she steals a lot of stuff?
Yes. Yes. I'm like desperately trying to find the video.
Is it on Facebook? Because you won't find it.
Almost certainly. No, it was actually sent to me in a private message, so. I can find it. I'll get my coal powered computer needs more coal. Apparently.
Oh, good old Jay.
I'll post it on the score.
Broadcasting live from his dirigible
Facebook page so that everyone can see it.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of scary. Well, not scary. It makes you very sad that she still has a career.
Well, you know, I have a theory about these types of girls. That they're, you know, Amy Schumer and Lena Dunham and that fat black woman who was in the movie Precious, and she won an award, I think, for it.
Yeah.
I don't know what her name is, but I feel like Hollywood has like these little like kind of pet projects.
Call them what they really are. Consolation prizes.
Well, it's like they're Hollywood has these like little pet projects, like, and you know, you have the really fat black woman who is, you know, in a movie, and you have to like her because she's fat and black, and yay her, and they all celebrate her, and she's all on, you know, magazine covers, and oh yay, body positivity, and blah 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 blah. And then you have Lena Dunham, and then you have Lena Dunham, who is like talentless and ugly on top of it. And then you have Amy Schumer, who is politically connected, fat and talentless. But, you know, somehow they get into Hollywood, and then Hollywood like gives them a little yay you kind of like thing. And then we're all supposed to love them because they're on magazine covers. I think we know why
Amy Schumer has a career.
Right. Schumer. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I think wait, Schumer, we Schumer know Schumer, why she Schumer has a Schumer career.
there's this thing in Hollywood where they give little claps to like these little weird girls who show up. They're a little chubby, they're a little fat, they don't have much talent, but you know, we can make a political point. We can do body positivity, and we can do whatever else. You know, it's like this weird Hollywood pet project. And then when the craze for that person is over, Hollywood shunts them aside, and they go on the diet trying to be popular again. Like the woman who did the Precious movie, the really, really overweight black woman. I can't remember her name. Gabby something or another.
I was just on her Wikipedia page. I'm sorry,
Brita. And you already forgot it. Nice.
But yeah, now she's trying to lose weight. Because, you know, Hollywood is over the whole, you know, obese and black thing. So I see these women come and go in the media, and I'm like, oh, they're just using you.
Gabrielle Sidibe.
Whatever. Yeah.
Who to what?
You're right.
Gabby yeah. Ray.
Amy Schumer is in that category. And Amy Schumer will soon be like a, you know, thing of the past.
Yeah.
So.
As far as I can tell, Lena Dunham has a career only because Hollywood was like, okay, we need a token ugly chick.
Yes.
We have to have one.
Yes, it's so a Hollywood token.
Whenever people
token.
Say Hollywood's all about beautiful people, we can trot Lena Dunham out and say, exactly. Oh, we beg to differ.
Exactly.
And they can put her back under whatever bridge they found her under.
Exactly. It means nothing. And I feel bad for these women who think it means something because, you know, well, I mean, they're all like kind of emotionally damaged anyway, but it's terrible. You know, they get celebrated for a certain amount of time and then they get kicked to the curb. It's just whatever. Hollywood. I guess if you sign up for that sort of thing, you should see it coming, but.
Yeah. Oh, I just remembered.
You know,
I was thinking about like, yeah, Lena Dunham, and I was thinking, what's her face? Sarah Silverman, who's, oh my God, I listened to a podcast interview with her. I mean, first up, talk about, you know, comic comedian who is not fucking funny.
Right. Yeah.
And I got into an argument with someone like, no, she's funny. I'm like, what has she done that is funny that she did?
Yeah.
Because there were definitely like, she had the Sarah Silverman show, and there was a couple of funny bits in that, though not that many because, yeah, I dare you name one. But there were a few that would crack a smile. But again, that was her and her writer's room. Like anything that she's done solo is abs like, oh God, I've watched a few of her like stand up sets. Like she did this one stand-up set that was like being pushed around. It was at like some award show or something. And it was one of those like, this is fucking awful. There's nothing even funny about this. She's bombing. And so I went back and looked. I'm like, all right, let's see some earlier stuff that she's done. Oh, no, no, that was a good night for her. Like, no, no, no. what I thought was her bombing, that was her killing. This is her bombing. You know, but then I listened to a podcast with her and she just did not do any shtickla. She just talked about her life and all that. I'm like, oh my God, you are such a sad, damaged, and stupid person. But another one I thought about that was like super sad, damaged, and stupid was I listened to an interview with Janine Garofalo.
Oh no.
And like,
whatever
I remember
happened to her.
I don't, that's the big thing. She was one of those, she was the unattractive counterculture, uber leftist, feminist, outspoken person.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, by the way, in the course of this interview, she made a reference to the Big Bang as in the scientific theory in a term to talking down against, you know, Christian creationist type people. And in her reference to the Big Bang, made it very, very clear that she had no understanding, even at the remotest level, of what the Big Bang was. I remember specifically, don't remember specifically, but I'm pretty sure she was stating that about like how the Earth was existing at the same time as the Big Bang.
Ooh. Well, the creationist would love that.
Yeah, it's just
sure. Why not?
I just love the people that like look down their nose at how ignorant you are and are so fucking stupid.
Janine Garofalo is making her Broadway debut.
Yeah, but she was one of those people that
the play is Trump, Trump, Poopy Head, Trump, Poopy Head, Poop.
No, it's actually Marvin's Room.
I mean, how he hates Trump. Because he's Trump. A poopy head.
You know, it's you bring up Broadway, and it makes me think of, you know, it. Why does that still exist?
Because people pay to see stuff.
It's, I mean, that's the same reason why the symphony exists. Oh. When you look at, I'm not speaking down on classical music. I'm not the hugest fan, but at the same time, no, I like a good concerto. I like a good opera, but I don't know if I could sit through an opera, but, but you know, it is a beautiful medium. And if you are a first string cellist, like go you, and I'm not speaking down to you and your profession, but the whole point to symphonies though was so that this major metropolitan area filled with wealthy elitists could have something that they and only they could go to, that the people that, you know, grow their food and shovel their shit just don't even have a concept of it. I mean, you know, you go back to the 18th and 19th century. You know, the opera was, you know, the opera or the, you know, or the orchestra, that was music. I mean, besides the folk music, that was music, because there wasn't any radio, there wasn't any recording devices. If you wanted to hear music, you had to hear people play it. So you had the people playing the music that I do listen to, the folk music, the work songs, that sort of stuff, the stuff that's fucking awesome as far as my musical tastes go. And then you had the people that would be going to this place. They'd be paying buttloads of money. And I'm sure the cost of an opera ticket or the cost of a symphony ticket has absolutely not kept up with inflation.
I think it depends on where you want to sit.
What I'm trying to say is that, that if we were in Budapest in, you know, 1770, and we wanted to go see an opera, we would probably be shelling out like huge sums of money versus, if I want to go see an opera this weekend, I can go see an opera, you know, it might be like $50 for the seat, but it's $50. $50 isn't a ton of money.
I doubt they were all that expensive even back then.
Okay.
Because they're a lot of times they were subsidized, as now, by wealthy donors. And, you know, you got to remember, historically, musicians really haven't been paid well. They were maybe a slight step above actors, who were considered, you know, ne'er-do-wells and, you know, scum of the earth and prostitutes, basically.
Which is all true.
Which is all true, even, you know, even now. But so I don't know. I mean, I like classical music, and I've been to the symphony before and managed to mostly stay awake through most of it.
that is absolute. That's, well, first off, I am an absolute morning person. So like come 10 o'clock at night, like, unless you are really keeping me going with like some direct conversation or all that, like, you know, I was watching Heat last night at like 8:30, and even Val Kilmer shooting people in the face wasn't able to keep my eyes open. But you know, on top, you know, it's fine, but the whole point was like, you know, if you were a farmer, or if you were a Cartwright, or you were shoveling shit or picking up garbage, you never even heard classical music.
No, never.
Versus, I mean, everybody heard, you know, you play the opening line to Beethoven's Fifth. They may not be able to identify Beethoven's Fifth, but they're like, oh yeah, no, I know that one.
Yeah, but they know it from Looney Tunes.
Da-na-na-na.
But that's an even better state is now people know it from Looney Tunes. And it was a much more like austere and elitist pastime to go listen to music.
I suspect the only reason it was on Looney Tunes is because more popular music was under copyright.
Oh, that could be.
And the cartoon people were notoriously cheap asses and didn't want to pay for it.
So you mean like the Squirrel Report theme music?
Yeah.
We don't have.
Like
over a year, I think.
That we used to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the theme music from that other podcast.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe what I went through to find something minimally acceptable that was.
There was theme music.
Royalty
free. Yeah, play the music.
Remember?
I have completely blocked all of that out of my memory.
And people still download that shit. I can't believe it.
It's gone. It's out of my head.
Every time I turn around, somebody's saying, "Oh yeah, I download those episodes and listen to them." I'm thinking,
I'll ever so often be like crazy somewhere. Like I'll go dig up like a photo from my blog because I want to show somebody something, and I might find a reference to a Vicious Circle episode that I was doing somewhere in and around that vicinity, and I'll ever so often click over. By the way, if someone could email me whatever that night where I drank a Steel Reserve while on Sudafed, I would definitely want to listen to that one. Because a lot of those ones, I listen to them and I'm like, okay, it's all coming back to me now. I was really fucked up by the end of that show.
It was all alternative weird.
The one with the Sudafed and the Steel Reserve, I was so fucked up, and you can clearly hear that I was fucked up.
Yeah.
I sound like
it's hard to tell.
No, it's not.
No.
When it's that deadly combination?
Oh, okay.
I'm sure if I got all juiced up on cocaine and beaver tranquilizers, I would you would notice a difference.
Wouldn't those offset each other?
They may or they may not. There might be a little constructive interference.
Is there actually a thing called a beaver tranquilizer?
No, I think I got that from Dodgeball.
Because there should be.
I think they use the same tranquilizers for beavers as anything else.
Rufinol?
Called Rohypnol, you ingrate.
Oh, man. Oh, we amuse ourselves.
All right. Speaking of being amused, can we talk about feminists getting blasted in the face by dudes?
Yes, let's talk about that.
That's the Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Yes.
We need to give background to this. Because people are probably like,
Rita,
what?
Can you do it? You
why? Why me?
Do you want me to do it?
Okay. there was the Battle of Berkeley this past weekend. Whatever. Yeah.
Hasn't there been a battle for Berkeley like every weekend? Haven't those guys burning shit and breaking shit?
But a certain group decided to have a rally for free speech in Berkeley, which was like hunting over bait, really. I mean, honestly, come on. So they decided to have this rally, and then they had, you know, people showed up to be security for the people who were, you know, protesting for free speech in Berkeley. And of course, these anti-Antifa people show up with their black hoodies and their masks.
FA standing for free speech.
No.
FA is First Amendment.
Right. And a girl, well, okay. I'm going to let you guys explain the girl, but this is what happened. So you have like, it was, and the police presence was nil, really. The police kind of just stayed out of the whole thing and let people duke it out. It looked like, I mean, I watched a lot
so
of
many Berkeley riots because the police have been told to stand down.
Well, that's because the protest organizers didn't order their arrests. They didn't order the symbolic arrest from the police.
No, the cops are there. They were just not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like some of the pro-Trump people approached them and were like, dude, what's going on? The cops are like, huh?
Again, with my statement that Democrats are anarchists.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they specifically tell their police not to police.
They are anarchists until they become overwhelmingly in power, and then the boot comes down on everyone's.
Well, that's all anarchists. I mean, again, right. Remember that like that Lenin and Hitler are and Mao are all known as, you know, as national socialists, but in fact they were all right wing. What's it?
Lenin was an international socialist. A lefty.
That's true.
Hitler was a national socialist.
Again, but they were all anarchists. Is the bottom line is they're all like spoiled little petulant children just wanting to smash the system. And just so happened that when they succeeded, they became national socialists.
And funny thing, Lenin was financed by Germany. During World War I.
Inconceivable.
Yep. Boy, that turned out a bit of in the ass, didn't it?
But yeah, let's get on to Sachikun says Snatchalon.
So yeah, you got this woman who on Facebook talked about,
Facebook.
Going and collecting 100
Nazi scalps.
And they were, you know, all our friends were like, you know, you go, girl, and, you know.
Isn't it adorable when book burners call other people Nazis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she showed up in, you know, and was apparently lobbing bottles at people and.
Bottles full of firecrackers.
Yeah, or
right?
Something. I mean, the idea, whatever. I guess. Anyway, so she thought she'd take a swing at some guy or throat punch a guy or something, and he basically face punched her back at which point she was like, hey,
the follow-up video was of her sobbing.
Yeah.
After she got her face punched. But here's the thing. Here's the thing for me that I watched this video a number of times. Like I watched it over and over to see like, what exactly was she doing? And she went at the guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But right. She went at him like to grapple. It looked like she wanted to like grapple with him. Like,
well, she looked like she was going for his throat.
She had a bottle She had a bottle in her other hand. Like she was going to hit him with it.
I'm not sure what happened, but like it looked like she was kind of like going to grab him and like kind of grapple with him a little bit. And he just hauled off and he punched her in the face. And I'm trying to understand her thinking here. I'm like, who told you you could win this? Who told you that everyone gets
a trophy millennial?
Oh my God.
Life that like, she grew up
or,
in,
or that adorable double standard of the women could do everything that men can do,
Well, but, she learned that lesson,
but,
right?
But under no circumstances a man ever allowed to hit a woman, no matter what she's doing.
Oh.
There was also another video. I don't know where it was, but this other woman who was, if I remember correctly, very much the central casting person they sent up for if we need a butch lesbian. And she, like, this dude is talking to another person that's beside her, I think, trying to have a reasonable debate.
Mm-hmm.
And she just turns around and fucking sucker punches him right in the side of the head.
Nice. Okay.
And
she get the beat down after that because she deserved
does a
it.
Very, very shitty thing. Does a very shitty job. So the guy just kind of goes, ow, what the fuck? And he kind of takes two steps, essentially does a circle. And when he comes around, she's walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And he just drills her in the back of the head and she goes down like a sack of bricks.
Welp.
Now that's not nice and that's not cordial behavior, but hey, guess what?
Yeah.
You know, this would not be news if, you know, if one fucking dude did it to another dude. Hey Jay, tell us a story about the leprechauns at the bar.
What?
About back when you were a bouncer? And the little teeny tiny Irish guys that get a few drinks in them and start talking and start.
That's
and their
racist.
Mouths, and their mouths. That's not racist. That's Boston.
Yeah, it was pretty much a given that the 5'4" guy named Sean, who was 120
racist.
Pounds dripping wet.
Yeah.
Would get a toss a few beers back and decide that. The
occasionally he'd be named Declan.
Seamus. Oh, wait.
Michael McSomething. Yeah.
The 6 foot tall, 220 pound Italian guy was exactly the right one he wanted to take on.
Well, of course.
Yes.
Duh.
Right in your face and would provoke you. And I discovered that lifting them up over my head was really effective.
Oh, no.
Because you're not actually hurting them. And if they continue to hit them, if they continue to hit you, all you do is let go.
Who is that guy that Hercules wrestled that way? It was one of the trials of Hercules.
Oh my God.
I gotta look this up now.
I used to be a meathead like Brita.
So here's the thing though. It turns out upon further research that this particular woman that was gonna go get 100 Nazi scalps and is some sort of like
amateur porn
cam girl thing.
Because she's a feminist and she can make money by selling her body.
Right.
And her hairy
wait,
starfish.
What?
And apparently she's got dreadlocks around her.
No. I have not seen the video. I don't want to see the
video.
You
don't want to see it.
Hey. You know, body hair. Do what you want.
Well, she's a feminist.
But also, you know, the internet's forever. So if you're going to do one dumb thing.
That's right.
Expect
thank God
that someone will find out your
thank,
other dumb thing.
Thank God the internet did not exist when I was young and doing stupid things. That's all I got to
say. Alan, electricity didn't exist.
It's actually kind of too bad that the internet wasn't around because I kind of wanted some of my students to do the stupid things that the God. Like, what an idiot. Learn from this guy's mistakes.
It's going to be a cautionary example to your kids.
Exactly.
Guys, see this. Don't do this. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with Alan. I'm glad there was no Facebook or YouTube or anything to document my idiocy.
Meanwhile, speaking of documenting your idiocy, Venezuela... has decided to go
socialism totally works
has decided to go full commie among in the midst of their crashing and burning. They did two things this past week that are just like, it's like straight out of the commie playbook, you know, but it's not real socialism. Yeah, tell that to the Venezuelans because I bet they think it's real socialism.
No, I love the. Yeah, it's not real socialism because it's not successful.
Right. Well, they had
no true Scotsman.
They haven't killed enough people yet. So, you know, but they're trying.
They kill enough, then no one will be hungry.
They've in the midst of confiscating all the firearms that are in civilian hands and making them illegal to own, they have decided to arm basically the Venezuelan brown shirts. And yes, they wear brown shirts because, you know, hey.
Stereotypes exist for a reason.
That's right. Apparently socialists love the earth tones. What can you say?
Oh, brown shirts.
So yeah, they're arming 400,000 loyalists. Who are apparently expected to, you know, kill the rioters? I don't know.
Rabbit?
Also, Venezuela has confiscated and nationalized the one remaining car factory owned by somebody else, General Motors. There was a General Motors plant that was taken over.
By the way, that article was really cryptic about, like, General Motors saying, like, did they have like prototypes there or something?
No, they did not.
Because they made it really sound like there was some sort of like irrevocable damage and severe damage to GM.
Well, yeah, because they took their fucking plant. However, you got to think, okay, if you look at the reality, GM's probably going, oh, thank God, because they were losing money like crazy at that plant. And now,
lose money at everywhere because they're GM and they make shit vehicles.
Well, yeah, but this one was particularly bad. So now the Venezuelans, it's a force majeure thing, and so now they don't owe anything. It's free and clear. They write it off the books. Done. Not losing money anymore.
Did Ford lose a plant in Venezuela?
I don't know that they even had one in Venezuela.
No, because Ford's not run by a bunch of fucking dumb shits and opening up plants in shithole communist countries.
Yeah, actually, there's been a lot.
Hey, guess what? Would you like a Ford Fiesta? Cool. Meet us at the port. There'll be a shipping container filled with them.
Yeah. The
first we're going to wait for the fucking check to clear before the ship leaves the port.
Right. And there's been a lot of big companies have pulled out. I'm surprised General Motors waited as long as they did, because every other big company that wasn't headquartered in Venezuela has left. They were like the last one still sitting there for some reason. I don't know. Maybe they were waiting on this. You know, somebody back there in the GM headquarters in the accounting department was like, "You know what? If we just leave it there, they're eventually going to steal it from us anyway, and we can just write it all off. And, you know, if you amortize this and blah, 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 and oh, look, suddenly we're making money off of it." I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, you know, socialists, they love them some, you know, nationalizing private property.
Yeah.
And arming their brown shirts.
Yes.
So
and driving what should be an outrageously prosperous country into the ground.
It was a prosperous country.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even before Chavez took over, they were doing better than almost any Latin American country there was.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving oil to places in the United States.
Huh?
Remember?
Well, that was Chavez.
Weird.
Yeah,
Joe Kennedy.
That's not what Alan's talking about. That's Chavez.
Yeah,
that was Joe Kennedy going, "Look at this! What a good communist he is."
Yeah,
yeah.
Cat drink,
and also so that people could say, "No, man, don't be hating on the socialists. They pay for your oil. They heat your house."
Was that, look at how great socialism is. A small country like Argentina or Venezuela can, don't ask me why I thought Argentina, but, you know, a small country like Venezuela can give money to a big, you know, can give oil to a big country like the U.S. to help the less fortunate. See, socialism's about helping the less fortunate.
By the way, they're giving us oil while their people wipe their ass with palm fronds because there's no toilet paper in the country.
Well, literally, before they got to that point, they cut off.
There's literally no shit paper in Venezuela.
Sure, there is. They print it. They print it by the ton for currency. It's actually more valuable as toilet paper than it is as currency right now.
Again, because you can't get toilet paper.
Right. Is that Tiger Ronan?
Yeah,
that's Ronan.
Hi, Ronan.
He's upset about dinner time.
What? Uh-oh. Is dinner late?
No.
It's late for in cat terms because it's, you know.
It's five seconds beyond when I want it?
No. Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of dinner, I like my Instant Pot.
Yay! What did you make?
Hilariously, I have just made rice in the thing. It works well. My wife, who was kind of lackluster on the whole, like, what is this? Why do we need to get this? Oh my God, it's so big. Why do we have such a big appliance on there? She loves the thing. She has made oatmeal in it. She likes to make the oatmeal the night before in the slow cooker, but now she can make it that morning.
Yep.
And she made a black bean and andouille soup that was really fucking good. I've got a few cookbooks that I'm leafing through. I need to figure out like a couple of, you know, recipes that interest me. Cause whenever I see like a piece of meat on the butcher rack, I see, is that good for the grill? Is that good for the slow cooker? Is that good for the oven? And now
you have to add in the Instant Pot.
Yeah. I'm not yet thinking in an Instant Pot world.
I really suggest that you try the ribs. Do you like ribs? I mean, like pork ribs, spare ribs.
Yeah.
I really suggest you try ribs because they're amazing.
Okay.
You do them in the Instant Pot and then you finish them with sauce in the oven so they get a little bit caramelized and they are just fantastic.
Nice.
I don't know. Okay. They're probably not as good as ribs done in a smoker by a master rib
chef
that smokes for, you know, 10 hours or something.
I do a similar thing where it's 4 hours. Like I put my daughter down for her nap or just before we finish lunch.
But it's,
and as soon as I'm putting the dishes in the sink for lunch, I'm also putting the ribs in the oven.
Yeah, but it's 95% of that in like, you know,
oh yeah,
less than an hour.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's like the difference between beta and VHS, right?
I haven't really tried big chunks of meat in the Instant Pot because I really feel that certain pieces of meat, although you can cook them in the Instant Pot, I really feel like time should be an ingredient because you need time to break down the collagen and you need time to, you know, it for some reason it just takes time. Like,
well, I don't know the steam. I remember I made a chili recipe in a pressure cooker.
Okay.
Alton Brown had essentially, it was a chili recipe using, you know, beer and beans.
Right.
No, it didn't have beans. This was a no beans chili. And I'm like, man, this is fucking shit. Someone should put some beans and some onions in this thing.
Spicy ketchup. That's why.
Exactly. But I will say that if you took that exact same recipe and cooked it all day in a slow cooker or cooked it all day on the stovetop and, or cooked it for less than an hour in a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me one of these has been cooked all day. One of these literally we just spooled up the pressure cooker and then vented the gas and there it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I could have told. It really did taste like it had been going all day. So the pressure does something about that to collagen.
Well, it doesn't. And I agree with Brita based on my experience. When you do like a giant pork loin or a giant roast or something like that, in the pressure cooker, it's not bad, but it is not like falling apart like it does in the slow cooker. Like when you leave a roast or a pork loin or something like that in the slow cooker all day long, when you pull that sucker out, it just falls apart. Like when you're trying to take it out, it literally falls apart. In the pressure cooker, you basically have to slice it. So it's still good. It's still tender. It's still, you know, juicy and flavorful and all that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't fall apart. So it, if you know, it depends on what you want to do with the meat. If you want to slice it, then pressure cooker is great. If you want to shred it or you want it to like be falling apart, then the slow cooker is probably better.
Gotcha. But yeah,
my two cents.
I got it. I love it. Oh, by the way, holy shit. Cleaning the Instant Pot's fucking cheating.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God. Like that just literally.
Jamie's an Instant Pot.
I just set it in the sink and it's clean.
Yeah.
I don't even turn the water or grab my sponge.
Jay is the last holdout. He needs more.
I am. But I don't think it'll burn my house down.
So. No, because that's the big thing.
That's a big thing, Jay. It's called the Instant Pot for a reason. Is you're not, you don't ever walk away from it. You just turn it on and let it go.
But you're home then, at the same time.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So. Right. See, that's the great thing about the Instant Pot. Jay, it won't ever burn your house down because you don't leave it. You don't have to leave it.
But it might blow your house up.
No, it won't.
It will if you get one of the ones that has like a smartphone in it or like a Wi-Fi smartphone interface, and then the Russian hackers will take it over and blow up your house with it. I heard that on a CIA thing.
But I don't think that's true because actually my wife was telling me as she read she'd been reading more. By the way, she was totally floored with the like everybody I've been telling about this have been like no, never heard of it. I'm like, yeah, no. She did like a Google search for Instant Pot recipes and was like, oh my God, this is like an internet phenomenon.
Yeah. There's like 30 million recipes.
Yeah. But she was saying that like, you have to adjust conventional pressure cooker recipes for it because the Instant Pot is just not capable of going up to the pressures that, that pressure right. cookers do. So
Captain, yeah. I cannot give you no more.
Yeah, I think the safety release valve will fail before it'll even blow shit up.
No, I think it only goes to twice atmospheric pressure, so it's not like a, you know, it's not crazy high, but I mean it's high enough. You know, if you double the pressure, you like the boiling temperature of the water goes up a lot higher too. So
yep.
Cheesecake is very good in the Instant Pot.
Yeah, I don't believe you on that one.
Oh.
I'm also not a huge cheesecake person either.
Doesn't matter. It's really good. You would love this. I am
right now a very, very big discount Easter candy person.
I just bought Peeps today.
Why?
Because there are like carts and carts of clearance Peeps today.
You know what I've been buying?
What?
Reese's peanut butter and chocolate bunnies.
Ooh.
You want to talk about like a lot. You hear people talk about like the mini Reese's are better than the full size ones because they're a much better ratio of peanut butter to chocolate.
Yeah.
The bunny is absolutely the king of all of the Reese's stuff.
So are you looking for more peanut butter or more chocolate?
It's a ratio. It's the ratio.
You gotta have
it's not too much peanut butter, but it's not too much chocolate. But also
too
the nice
much
the,
peanut butter.
There is a thing.
I know what those words mean individually, but together.
Jay, are you telling us how you got fat?
Yeah, that was one of the ones. Are you kidding?
Peanut butter just Skippy, straight out of the jar.
Skippy, chunky, and a spoon. Done.
Skippy? I actually heard. Did you?
Yep.
Actually, speaking of chocolate butter. And peanut butter, I've heard someone like of the pouring Hershey's chocolate syrup over the top of the peanut butter and mixing it in.
Stop.
No, but it'd be a spoonful, about half a spoon, and then Hershey's syrup in the other half of the spoon. Lather, rinse, repeat 7,000 times.
So you're a Skippy guy.
Yes.
Weird. Oh. What are you?
I don't know how it's pronounced anymore. I don't know if it's Jif or Gif.
in the case of Jif. Peanut butter, it's Jif.
Peanut butter is Jif. I know that from the commercials. Choosy moms choose Jif.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fuck you, Dad. You don't ever do the groceries.
And I grew up with Chunky. For whatever reason, my parents were Chunky Jif
right.
people. Mm-hmm. And I'm still a Jif person. Like, yeah. Definitely, Jay, go fuck yourself for Skippy. That's hot garbage.
Jif is.
but the but yeah, I when I moved in with my wife, she was like, "Ugh, chunky peanut butter. That's awful. No, get smooth."
We had this fight too.
And then I got smooth. And what the fuck have I been doing all my life? Chunky peanut butter is horseshit.
You don't have chunky, to work for it.
Chunky is the way to go. Creamy is for making. It's great for making sandwiches. There's no question.
So, Jay, you like chunky Skippy?
Yes.
That's like a double fail.
Do you like chunky Skippy while shitting in a porta potty? I'm just those that just seems to be the next best thing. You guys got running water. I really prefer to shit in blue water in a public park.
So if smooth peanut butter is better for sandwiches, what the hell do you use chunky on, Jay?
Duh, eating it right out of the jar. Didn't I just say that?
Oh.
Alan, what are you? What is your peanut butter preference?
Alan likes artisanal peanut butter.
Well, I get smooth, but I usually buy Jif, but I've been known to buy other stuff. H-E-B brand. Peanut butter is pretty good.
I usually buy Jif smooth.
Yeah.
We did have, when we first got married, we had the whole chunky versus smooth argument, and I won.
Oh, by the way, the natural Jif is pretty good because it's got a lot less of the sugar and a little bit more of the peanutty nature, but it's not like those fucking hairy armpit.
You have the rice and the oil one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just it's got like the thick cake oil and it's
three quarts of oil and a couple of peanuts at the bottom.
Yeah, and by the time you get to the end of the halfway through the jar, you're bending knives against it trying to scoop it onto a piece of bread.
That's the kind of peanut butter we got in sea rations. You had the oil, you open it up, it had the oil on it, you had to mix it
and it doesn't taste good either. It's not good. But I find that I like the natural stuff that, quote unquote natural, where no, they're adding sugar, but they're not adding nearly as much as the OG, the OG Jif. And, that is, I think that's a lot better. I do like my peanut butter peanutty.
Okay. So
I found a new, let me just interrupt here. Recently it has been showing up in Ohio Walmarts. I've seen it at Walmart Velvet brand peanut butter. And I want to buy it because the label is so retro. I don't know how it tastes. I don't know if they have chunky or smooth or whatever, but Velvet brand. And they have those like really retro little cartoon boy faces. You have to Google it. It's, I don't know. I want to try it out.
Oh yeah.
Do you see it?
Oh yeah. It looks like a Wonder Bread bag. Yeah,
yes, it totally does. It's charming. And I probably will end up buying a jar just to try it. But yeah, Velvet peanut butter. I don't know of any other brands except Jif or Skippy. That's it.
I was going to ask, now that we're talking about peanut butter,
mm-hmm.
what is your favorite way to consume the peanut butter?
I spread peanut butter on a gluten-free buckwheat blueberry waffle.
That's pretty good.
It's good.
The absolute balls out way to do it is to toast up some bread, and while it's still warm, spread the peanut butter on the toasted bread. So it kind of melts the peanut butter. It changes the consistency.
Oh, peanut butter toast is good.
And then throw about make a hardwood floor out of crispy thick sliced bacon on top of that. And then throw a lid on it and eat that shit.
I have never tried that. That sounds great.
I almost divorced my wife when I made her a peanut butter and bacon sandwich. I'm like, we got bacon in the fridge. She was like, yeah, just make me, I can't remember what she was doing, but she was going out somewhere where she was going to be running errands or something like that. And then she was going to be like between meals. Do you want me to make you something? Yeah, just make me a peanut butter sandwich. I said, we got bacon in the fridge. You want a peanut butter bacon sandwich? And she goes, oh God, no. And I said,
what?
Have you tried it? No, I haven't. It's the greatest thing on earth. You need to try peanut butter and bacon. And she tried it. She's like, eh, no, it was all right.
Like, I'm going to have to try it. I've never tried it.
Was that before or after her brain surgery?
This was after this. Yes, this was all post brain surgery. So possibly, possibly she's lost that pleasure sensor of the joy of peanut butter and bacon.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
Oh, and by the way, if you don't feel like frying up bacon or don't have, you know, I cook up like a whole pound just at a time. There's just, I open the package, I cook it and all that. So there's usually a little left over. Cause
that's how one cooks bacon.
Yeah. I can't eat a whole pound by myself. Cause I want to move the next day for the next few days. But so if you don't have like bacon kicking around or don't feel like frying up some bacon for that thing, the Hormel bacon bits in the glass jar.
Oh, those are
stop
good.
It.
You could shake the. What do you mean, stop it?
Those are good.
Those things are spectacular.
All right,
they're real bacon.
They're not. They're not as good as a nice thick slab of bacon. But let me tell you, they are the next best thing.
It's real, like, bacon that's been crumbled up.
Yeah, exactly. But what they're, else does it have on it? It's
bacon. Is
it weird? It's literally up. Just bacon.
Yeah,
all right.
That's all it is. If you look at it, it is bacon that has been fried and then set through a grinder.
Yep,
that's it. We're not talking about like the Bako's texture soy protein bullshit.
Nope.
We're talking about the Hormel real bacon bits. And like literally, I have taken a piece of toast, put mayonnaise on it, shake those fuckers onto the mayonnaise so it sticks, and then done tomato and lettuce out of the garden on the
Bako's lettuce and tomato.
Exactly. Is the lettuce and tomato are ripe and ready and are going to go bad any second now. This shit needs to get eaten. Toast up some bread, mayo, pour the bacon bits directly onto the mayonnaise so that they stick. Because that is the one downside, is they are not structurally bacon.
Right.
But yeah.
They're not, it's not load-bearing bacon.
That's
it,
right.
It is not an engineering grade bacon.
What is your favorite way to consume the peanut butter, Jay? Other than just on a spoon.
Other than just on a spoon, Triscuits. Big fan of Triscuits. Ooh,
yum.
Just that
I always go savory with Triscuits.
What's that?
All right. I always go like cheese and sriracha.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Here's peanut the thing. Butter. Y'all are all wrong. The best way to consume
Alan puts it on brisket.
No. Alan puts it in his chili.
I'm going to tell you the best way to consume the peanut butter. And if you haven't tried it, you need to try it. What you do is you get you get you some bread that's like just started to turn stale. And you're going to make this kind of like you'd make a grilled cheese sandwich. So you butter up the bread on the outside, put you a layer of peanut butter on one slice of bread, put you a layer of grape jelly on the other side, smack those suckers together, and then flop it into a hot cast iron skillet. Let it sit until that side browns, then flip it over and let the other side brown. And it is a hot, gooey, delicious grilled peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You got right there with my peanut butter and bacon. Yeah, definitely. One of the tricks is definitely get that peanut butter a little warm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The second best is peanut butter on a waffle.
Ants on a log.
You know, I've come to realize that, like artichokes, celery is a vegetable people tend to eat like with stuff, tend to put accoutrement to.
You have to.
And no, I.
It is a vector.
I really, really, I fucking like the taste. Like, I will steam up an artichoke and just eat that son of a bitch. And on the same angle, I will absolutely just completely annihilate an entire head of celery with
what?
With,
really?
With nothing else but the water I use to rinse the sand off of it.
That is wow. Okay.
I've really found that I'm super into it.
I want to tell you that grilled celery is really good.
Is it?
Yes. She wants to tell you that, but she can't because it's awful.
Because it's the end of the hour.
Oh, it's that.
And
too.
We're done with the show. And
oh, look,
we are taking
Brita, no, I need to ask you one question. I just realized I forgot to say,
Okay.
So at my grocery store, hilariously enough, I was in Florida, the last week and a half, whatever the hell that was, but I was in Florida. While I was flying up, like, we were doing JetBlue, and I was, you know, when my daughter finally fell, I was either attending to my daughter or when she fell asleep listening to podcasts. And, but since it's JetBlue, they got the little TVs. And so there was just loops of like ads and shit going on in front of me. And one of the things they were doing ads for was for a Zoodler.
And oh,
I was just laughing. I was just laughing at the Zoodler because they're hilarious.
They are, but.
And good. I'm just kind of like, oh God, I would never buy one of those. At the clearance bin at my grocery store, there was an off-brand Zoodler.
Uh-huh.
$1.50.
Is it like the one you use like a pencil sharpener?
Yes.
I wonder.
Where you just kind of. Yeah,
yeah, it's got a little like three pronged doohickey that you shove in the back of that, and then it's a pencil sharpener that spits out Zoom.
Right.
How wonder if that would work in the spaghetti sauce?
No.
Pressure cooker.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to. I think you got to cook it very. That's the big question: is do you cook it?
No,
almost no. I mean, you just want basically enough to get it warm.
Yeah. So you just apply a sauce to it.
Just put hot sauce on it. You're good.
That's really.
Yeah. Although if you're going to use zoodle like sweet potatoes, like put them in the oven and bake them a little bit. They're good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually got a sweet potato.
But like zucchini, no, just put hot sauce on them. They're fine.
Yeah. Breed it. Email me the particulars, or if you want to just shout them out, the particulars on the sweet potato. I may have to try that.
I swear we should rebrand this show as a food.
I know we should. Everybody loves to eat.
That's true. Like 70% of this show talking about politics, Alan.
And Sasquatch.
Yes, people love, but people like to eat.
I know. I'm not complaining. I like to eat. I'll talk.
Well,
about
I got
to
tell
time.
You next week, I am going to Texas.
Nice.
And part of my trip is I am going to be teaching Alan how to cook certain things.
And the other part of your trip is you need to have an entire cow come out of your asshole.
Exactly.
not at once.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care if you do it all at once or in installments, but an entire cow has to come out of your asshole over the course of your trip to Texas.
So is there no show next week then?
No show.
Oh.
It's vacation week.
We are going to Black's Barbecue in
Lockhart, Texas.
Lockhart, Texas, which is a world famous barbecue destination for the giant rib.
For the coloreds?
No.
The Black Irish.
I thought that was its Jim Crow name. There's across the street there was the much nicer White's Barbecue, but after the Civil Rights Act and White's Barbecue burned down, they just decided Black's became the good one.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
It's a true story.
But they have a 1 pound beef rib.
Wow!
And are you going to order two of them?
No.
I'm
going to be lucky if I can finish the one, but there's a video I should post it on the Squirrel Port page. There's a video of, I follow this thing on YouTube. It's the Eater channel and they have a meat show, and this guy went to Black's and he did a video of this rib. And as soon as I saw, and this was like maybe last year, I don't know. I sent the video to Alan. And I was like, why have you not taken me here yet?
Oh man! Yeah.
It's just
I'd have to see about that because I know that the other day I bought it was about a rack of because it was a couple of packages of beef back ribs, and I cooked them in the oven at 250 like all afternoon. And my wife's coming down with a bit of a cold, so she ate one rib. My daughter and I finished off the rest of the rack. Oh, God, they're so good.
The title of the video is The Biggest, Baddest Short Rib is at Black's Barbecue.
Nice.
And yeah, so that is like my food adventure. That's really the only reason I'm going.
And Cosmo.
And the giant
and Cosmo
and the giant squirrel and the giant squirrel on the way to Lockhart, where they have pecans and a giant squirrel.
Right. So that's where they I'm going to be next week.
There's a giant squirrel.
And what do they have?
Pecans.
Are those like pecans?
Is that what you say, Jay?
No.
Oh my god.
It's pronounced pecans. Pecans.
Great.
Pecans.
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 Some pecan pie. I don't even say pecan. That's stupid.
They actually this place has a pecan pie vending machine. You can buy a whole pecan pie out of a vending machine.
That's the way God intended.
In case at 3 o'clock in the morning you really need your pie.
You need a pie, you need a pie, damn it. There should be more pie vending machines. I fully support this initiative. Call Trump. Get on that. All right, we're descending into stupid now. So, good night, everybody. We'll be back week after next with. Well, this was 237. Next time it'll be 238. We're rapid. Forget it. I give up.
Good night, internet.
Bye.
Okay. Good night. Bye.